Scripture lesson is found in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. But Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went into the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts Christ gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way unto Christ, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building up itself in love. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. As I was hiking on a Rocky Mountain trail with friends recently, a slight breeze led my attention to a small aspen tree. And I took a deep breath, and I remembered. I remembered 10 years ago, this very summer, as I sat under a much larger aspen tree in Ghost Ranch, New Mexico. The sun crept over the 100 million year plus layered walls of Kitchen Mesa there at Ghost Ranch. The early morning chill had begun to recede into Box Canyon, which was the ancient home to dinosaurs. The sky was blue and deep in a way that it can only be in the late spring on a New Mexico plateau. A gentle breeze suddenly became stronger, and with it came the sound, as if a flock of birds were overhead. Looking up, I saw not birds, but leaves. Perhaps you have seen the leaves of an aspen tree in a breeze, shimmering, glistening, singing, dancing, breathing in all of eternity collapsed into one moment, and then breathing out, one moment became eternal. Under that aspen tree, I experienced what I would call an epiphany. An epiphany that shifted perspective and perception from one of an autonomous individual to that of a participant in an expression of a wonder-filled, mysterious, ongoing process of one presence in creation. That experience has been an abiding, guiding experience for me. We just heard these words from the letter Paul wrote to a group of followers of Jesus in Ephesus. There is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now, even though Paul was writing to a particular community that had specific issues, his insights and advice to them ring true with the teachings of Jesus, as well as with many others who came before and after. At the core of practically every major spiritual tradition of humanity is the belief and the practice of some form of unity within and throughout creation. Also, at the core of humanity is a struggle. A struggle between what seems to be an innate sense of individuality that struggles with the reality that we are connected in and through creation. And I would suggest this morning that the divisiveness that permeates our world today is a multifaceted extension of this struggle between individuality and community. And Paul addresses this struggle with the people of Ephesus. And this also echoes through time, speaking to us today, as he says, "But each of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now, the gifts he describes in this passage we heard are those that we ascribe to church life, apostles and preachers and teachers. But in other places, in other letters, Paul speaks of more general gifts like gentleness, kindness, patience, generosity. All of these gifts that make up our individuality, our personality, if you will, the gifts we are given determine who we are. And so we don't take them lightly. However, individuality of many people is not the goal, but rather the diverse ingredient of unity of the whole. Let me parse that a bit. Our insistence on individual freedom in our culture, as I have said from this pulpit before, is always for the common good. Individual freedom does not exist outside of community. And the moment we insist on individual freedom and rights that do not benefit the common good, we are treading on dangerous ground. It is always the goal of freedom to benefit the community as a whole. As Paul presents this wonderful image of unity, as he so often does, he cautions us that not everyone sees the world this way. He says, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every word of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness, in deceitful scheming. Trickery, craftiness, scheming have always been part of the human experience. However, I do think a case can be made that today Paul's every wind of doctrine has become a hurricane of deception and misinformation and lies. Where do we even begin when facing the onslaught of misleading information thrown at us every day? And I would suggest that as we turn to this morning's readings as well as the teachings of Jesus, our guiding compass becomes the threefold summation of our calling. Love. Love God with our whole being, with an understanding that God is in and through everything, everywhere, all the time. Love neighbor, with the understanding that everyone is our neighbor. And love ourselves, understanding that at our core we are created in the image of God, which means to love all of creation. Now, using this threefold calling, we can examine the myriad of information that consumes us every day. Does it show love of God? Does it show love of neighbor? Does it show love of self? Anything that exploits or misuses creation, discounts and disrespects any other human, or belittles our own self-respect and dignity is false. I think our scriptures are pretty clear on this, that when we put ourselves above all else, as I said, we are treading on dangerous grounds. My friends, the evidence of destructive climate change, of hateful racism, of voter suppression, of the effectiveness of vaccines and masks, of corporate greed, the evidence is overwhelming. Yet too many rely on internet memes and uninformed opinions of radio and TV pundits instead of information that comes from people who have dedicated their lives to medicine and to social science and to economics and to education. And we listen to the thousand other voices that are uninformed. We are called to a greater responsibility. I want to read Paul's words again that begin the passage I read earlier. And I want you to hear these words as if they are spoken to each and every one of us personally, to us as a community, to us as a church, to us as a nation, to us as all humanity. Listen to these words. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Speaking truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. I beg you. The word of the Lord in creation, in our scriptures, and within us. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know that old favorite hymn we just sang can take on new meaning in our lives if we realize that the God with us is not a person somewhere doling out favors, but rather a presence within and throughout creation and each other that provides that comfort and that care. Our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings this morning actually spawned my memory of the experience under the aspen tree, as we are told Elijah went out into the wilderness and went asleep under a broom tree. Well, the backstory on this is that Elijah was escaping certain death. Jezebel, the king's wife, had declared that Elijah was a walking dead man. And he was running for his life. That's why he was out in the wilderness under this broom tree. And when he awoke, he discovered the presence of God providing for him. But more importantly, what the presence of God told Elijah was, get up, eat, and go get to work. And stop hiding fearfully under this broom tree. And that's what we're called to, my friends. Not to go out recklessly, but to go out in love and compassion and caring for all people as we live in these perilous times. Amen.